Dear brothers and sisters, before we begin the khutbah al-jum'ah, perhaps it is appropriate for us to mention a couple of things. Number one, Muslims, when they come to the jum'ah prayer, they have to prepare themselves for jum'ah. And jum'ah has its own set of disciplines. Jum'ah is not the movie house. Jum'ah is not the mar'ab, it's not the place to relax. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time he entered his masjid and he saw the Muslims were sitting separately in their own personal way. And even though they were not arguing and they were not having any conflict, he didn't like that. So he said to them, why do you not draw yourselves up in rows as the malaika draw themselves up in front of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This tells us that one of the principles of Jum'ah is that when you enter the masjid, you enter with your right foot and you enter and you fill the rows. You don't sit in a place of relaxation. Those who want to obey, you can comply with the sunnah. And those who want to do other than that, you take benefit from something else. The second thing, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, faith has over 70 branches, the smallest of which is removing some other, something injurious, something harmful from the road. So when you enter the masjid and you leave your shoes at the middle of the door, you violating the sunnah, and the malaika, they are cursing you while you're sitting in the masjid. So we should make and bring to life a new sunnah. We should bring to life a sunnah, and we should kill a bid'ah. And what is that? Everywhere in the Muslim world you go, the Muslims, they entering the masjid, just leave their shoes at the door. Who told you that? What part of Islam is that? Where is the sunnah of that? Where is the dalail of that? A non-Muslim asked me, is it part of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, is it part of Islam to leave the shoes at the door because I see all the Muslims do that? I told them no. The Muslims, they fell asleep. Don't you be like that. Put your shoes on the rack. So Muslims, when you come to the masjid, they have provided for you a place for your shoes. Take 10 seconds and put your shoes where they belong. And you will get blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned to us in the surah, which is called Ra'ad, in the 11th ayah, a very short advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he said, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah does not change the condition of a people until the people change the condition which is inside of themselves. Very short ayah. But in keeping with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, خير الكلام ما قل ودل, that the best speech is the one that is very short but very significant and powerful in its meanings. So today we only going to discuss this ayah. Because if we can respond to this ayah itself will help you and I to reform our thinking, to reform our behavior, to reform our attitudes, and we will create change in our own self, in our houses, in our families, in our society, and inevitably we will create change in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Allah will not change the condition of a people. What is the condition of a people? The condition in which they live. The conditions under which they live. The quality of their life. The challenges in front of them. The nature of their environment. The challenges, the conditions that are in front which they must meet and deal with, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. But a Muslim should not think, you or I, that because we're Muslims and because we pray, because we recite the Quran, because we fast or we do this and that, somehow or another, our conditions are going to change. No, Islam is not like that. This is like fairy tales. The Quran is not a fairy tale. And the Prophet's Sunnah is not a fairy tale. The Quran is a book of reality. And the life of the Prophet is a life of reality. If you want change in your life, you have to make an assessment. You must make an evaluation. And you must move things from their places into their correct places. The ayah is followed by another statement, and Allah says, and there is no repelling or reversing whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made qadr on the people, meaning we will not be able to repel or we will not be able to change the trials, the tribulations, the fitna, or the fasad. We will not be able to change them just by dua. No, we will change conditions because Allah will recognize that we have sincerity in our hearts. We have commitment in our hearts. And we follow that up with actions. And as a result of that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will create change. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we are living in a changing and challenging world. The world is not static. And the world is not easy. We are blessed and we are chosen to be Muslims. And Allah will ask us about what He has given to us in order to change ourselves. However, in changing ourselves, you will find almost immediately a change in your family. And when you find changes in families, you will find changes in communities. When you find changes in communities, you'll find changes in the society. And when there's a change in the Muslim societies, you will see a change in the Muslim world. It happens that way. Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to the Jum'ah clinic. Now, many of you, perhaps you don't see the Jum'ah as a clinic. Because if you were bleeding, if you were hurting, you would not be sitting and relaxed in the back. If you entered a clinic and you were bleeding and you were hurting, you would not go to the hospital and sit to the back. You would rush to the front because you would want to be addressed right away. But our problem is that we eat too much, and we sleep too much, and we have too much. And we think that Jum'ah is just kind of like, well, I'll just go there and show up, and I'll pray two raka'ah, and I'll listen to the khutbah, and I'll go back home, I'll eat my lunch. And somehow or another, I think I have completed something. No. Jum'ah is a clinic. This is the weekly clinic which Allah has made obligatory upon all of us, Muslims. For what? To address and to confront the many diseases and dysfunctions which affect us from day to day. This Friday clinic is held all over the Muslim world in order to allow the Muslim preachers and teachers, like doctors, the opportunity to distribute the medicine and to offer the therapy to address our individual and collective condition. Our brothers, earlier, before you entered, some of you, I requested you and I reminded you from the Sunnah of the Prophet to move forward and fill the ranks. So I'm reminding you again, please move forward and fill the ranks. This is a Sunnah of the Prophet and one of the principles of the Jum'ah. Because when you don't fill the ranks, other people will enter and they will walk in front of you. Or other people, they will enter and step over the necks of other people to get a seat. And wallahi, nobody, he deserved any seat which he did not earn. If you want the first seat, you should get here early. If you don't get here early, you don't deserve to step over the people and sit in a place of preference. And secondly, if you want the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you should obey. The Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when all the Muslims is given the opportunity to drink from the pool, the hawth of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, all of them will enter and all of them will drink and all of them will benefit except Abba. They asked him, O Prophet ﷺ, who is the Abba? He said, those who refuse. So you can see the attitude of the Muslims from a day-to-day basis. You can see our sickness from a day-to-day basis, because even though we're seeing the ayah, we're hearing the ayah, we're hearing the sunnah, even though Muslims, they still refuse because they personalize the issue. They say, who's this guy? Why he's telling us that? It's not his business. I can sit where I want to sit. Okay, no problem. Sit where you want to sit. However, if you only came to the Jummah clinic to check in, to perform the ritual, and simply complete the religious obligation, you will not get the real benefit. And you will not get the medicine and the therapy. It will not work for you. You and I, Muslims, we must come to the Friday clinic with clean hearts, clean minds, because we sincerely want to clear our minds. We want to reconcile our thinking. We want to correct our behavior. And we want to make a real change in our overall condition. The Quran is a book of guidance. The Quran is a book of healing. But we have to follow the orders. And we have to fulfill the prescription. You don't think that just because you went to the doctor's office, somehow or another, you're going to be healed. No, you got to follow the doctor's orders. You have to take the prescription. You have to take the medicine. And Islam is the same. If you don't obey, you don't take the prescription, you don't follow the orders, then going to the doctor's office is of no use to you. You waste your time and you wasted your money. The Sunnah of our Prophet ﷺ is a source of very profound human behavior. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. سبحان الله. See, he said, so certainly there is for you in the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم the most profound example of human behavior. For those who fear Allah, for those who have their hope in Allah and in Yawm al-Qiyamah. And they, because of that, they are وَذَّكَرُ اللَّهُ كَثِيرًا, and they remember Allah much. But Muslims, you and me, we have to implement and follow the principles of the Sunnah. And unfortunately, many Muslims, we are concentrating on only the external sunnah. We want to make sure, you know, our gutra is good. We want to make sure we got a nice thawb. We want to make sure we have lihya. You want to make sure we have taqiyya on our head. You know, we want to make sure that we're standing in the right way. We are putting our hands the correct way. We want to argue about the hands on the chest or the stomach or on the side, and we want to argue about these kinds of things. Because these things, they are significant. But guess what? There is a sunnah for inside and sunnah for the outside. And the sunnah from the outside, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not look first we have a love for the Prophet on the inside, you will see it in our behavior. Do you remember when a man was heard by the Prophet, a man came to the Prophet and he said to him, O Messenger of Allah, and Allah, he heard that man say that. So Allah, he sent Jibreel alayhi salam to the Prophet with the ayah. In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah, fa'tabi'uni yahbibukum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. But he said, he told that man, if indeed, say O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to that man, if indeed you love Allah, then follow me. So following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, complying with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loving the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obeying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is one of the signs of loving Allah. And when we complete those characteristics and those signs, then Allah will love us and Allah will forgive our sins. Today, Muslims believe that if they stick to the culture and their ethnic habits, there is some trace of Islam in all the Muslim culture. There's no doubt. You go to India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, West Africa, East Africa, South Africa, you go to the Arabian Peninsula, you go this place, you go that place, you will see Islam in all the Muslims. But unfortunately, the Islam has been covered by culture. The vehicle of Islam is no longer identifiable. Muslims have put Islam inside of the vehicle of their culture. So when they're driving down the road, those who see the vehicle, they don't see Islam. They see the culture. When you talk to a Muslim, you don't see Islam. You see the culture. And that is the part of the senses that when people say they know Islam, they don't know Islam. They know Muslims. Wallahi, anyone who really tastes Islam, smell Islam, see Islam, hear Islam, feel Islam, they will know it. But it is the Muslims themselves who have put their culture in the place of Islam. And that is why when you find non-Muslims claiming that they hate Islam, they're not really hating Islam, they don't know Islam. They're hating Muslims. And that's why we really need to honestly think about how we can change that perception. Islam will optimize and complement all culture, but your culture or my culture cannot ever complement or optimize Islam. We, you and I, we need to change our thinking. Some Muslims think that if they do a lot of religious rituals, they make a lot of adhkar, they read a lot of Quran, they stand a lot in prayer, they do a lot of fasting, they think somehow or another that this will cause a change. It will not. Although, wa dhikrullahi akbar is the correct statement. Yes, the dhikr of Allah is akbar. And we want to stand as often as we can, qiyam al-layl. And yes, we want to read Quran, we want to memorize Quran, and we want to implement Quran. But the reading and the speaking and the standing and the fasting, this is not going to change the world. It is the amal. Because everywhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, he mentioned what? وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. You see, Allah, he never says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except for those who believe, except for those who hold the covenant, but that he follows it with what? وَعَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. So, عَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ is what activates your iman. عَمَل is what activates iman. If you only have static iman, you only make static rituals, but you do not implement that with actions, it means that your iman remains closed, ineffective, without benefit for you and without example for others. O Muslims, religious rituals by themselves will never produce the vital things that we need. You see around yourself a society. You see roads, you see organization, you see services, you see institutions, you see government. This comes from some kind of organization and sacrifice. It didn't come just because we're Muslims. The things which are vital in our life requires hard work, social competition, investment, social commitment. These are the tools that produce dynamic social change. Today, Muslims all over the world are dependent upon and consuming the products and services of other people. Subhanallah. Evaluate for yourself. Maybe you didn't do it. When you go outside the masjid right now, take a phone out of your pocket and see if this is a Muslim phone. Muslim made the phone? No, you don't even care. Who made the phone? You just want it. Look to the telecommunication service that you're using. The technology is not from the Muslims. The technology is from others. And you are spending lots of your money to have this technology and to have this phone, but wallahi, it did not come from the Muslims. Go out and see so many things. Go inside your house and see if you can find a refrigerator which is made by the Muslims. Just a refrigerator. See if you can go inside your house and find just a microwave made by the Muslims. Which one of the cars outside that you drove here today is manufactured by the Muslims? What the Muslims make it? And that is why our Islam is not working for us, because we are not competitive. We don't have any products and services to offer the world. We just have rituals, beautiful ideas. Today, Muslims all over the world are dependent upon and they are consuming the products and services of other people. Although our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said something very simple. He told us, teach your children business, because business is 9/10 of the halal sustenance of the Bani Adam. SubhanAllah, look at that. Why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted us to teach our children business? Why he wanted us to do business? Because the businessman, the people engaged in business, they are bringing to the world products and services that will influence the lives of the people. And when you bring people good things, people respect you and they depend upon you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Muslims believe that somehow because they pray, because they read Quran, because they perform Hajj, because they fast in Ramadan, or they move their lips with Azkar, somehow they will excel others. They will not. And they think that somehow we will arrive at ascendancy. We say, inshallah, one day Islam will become over. Inshallah, there will be Islamic State. Inshallah, Khilaf will come. Inshallah, Islam is going to rise. Islam is not a dream. Islam is a reality. And a reality means that you can study it from the beginning to the end as a manhaj, as a process. If you cannot understand Islam as a process, you can never understand Islam. It is simply not true. Allah has promised that those who worship, that those who make investment, that those who compete, and those who sacrifice, he will succeed other people, and they will influence their society. inevitably they will govern and influence the world. And Allah is just. So if Muslims eat and sleep and only pray, they will wind up subordinate to others because Allah is just. The element of change is the most powerful ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the human beings. Why? Because animals cannot change their condition. Because animals do not have the intellectual capacity to change their condition. However, human beings are able to change, to reverse, to impact situations. Human beings are able to understand and evaluate. Human beings have the ability to be creative, to be innovative, and to be dynamic. Muslims are the best of the human beings because we are following the best of all the human beings, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Secondly, Muslims are the best human beings. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Muslims the very best tools and the very best resources for change. And that is the Quran and that is the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Muslims, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to take backwards, ignorant and undisciplined Bedouins from the Jaziratul Arabiya, from the Arabian Peninsula. And in 25 years, he delivered them as the leaders of the world. It was not from their culture. It was because of the impact of the Quran, and it was the impact of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. And that is how Allah, he took the worst to become the best. This is a matter of history. It's a matter of evidence. And anybody who wants to study the history, they will also see the evidence. But guess what? Just because we are Muslims and that we are attached to that dynamic, it doesn't mean that we will get the benefit that Allah gave to them. Because we also have to work, and we also have to sacrifice, and we also have to obey, and we also have to comply like others who came before us. O Muslims, you have to ask yourself today, do you want to be part of a real change? If so, you must start right now. Don't look to change somebody next to you. Fathers and mothers, don't look to change your children. Young people, don't look to correct your parents. Don't look to change your neighbor. No, first you need to change your mind. You need to change yourself. Then you will see you have the capacity then to influence and to change others and situations around you. We must change what is inside of ourselves, as the ayah said. We must change our thinking. And our thinking will change our attitude. And our attitude will change our behavior. The entire world is accessible to us. The information, the products, and the services of the whole world is now accessible to us. So what excuse do the Muslims have today? Wallahi, Muslims are walking around today with the responsibility of the Ummahat al-Kutub on a phone. Subhanallah. Some people, some mujtahideen, some great scholars, they traveled 3 months just to do what? To verify one hadith. Some Muslims traveled across the whole of Africa because they did not ever see the Quran. Just they want to go to Egypt to see the Quran, to study the Quran. Today, subhanAllah, we have the whole Quran here. We have all the Ummahat al-Kutub here, all the Sahih Sitta right here. Everything we want, we can have here. Everything we want to buy, everything we need to read, everything, information that we want to have, we have it right here. But we don't use it, and when you don't use it, it doesn't matter how much you have. O Muslims, We ask ourselves, are you satisfied with what is in your pockets? Are you satisfied with what will go into your stomachs? Are you satisfied with what you will purchase for your own comfort? Is that where your satisfaction lies at? In your stomachs? In your homes? In your pockets? So if your pocket is full and your stomach is full and your house is comfortable, you say, MashaAllah. No, you have become slothful. You have become ungrateful. And that is why no change will come. Then you will only have what you strive for. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you and I, we will think about, reflect about this ayah from the 13th surah, the 11th verse, Surah Ar-Ra'd, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah does not change the condition of a people until the people change that which is within their own selves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of us will benefit in this Friday clinic from the medicine which have been distributed. وَقُولُ خَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن ولد وبعد. Dear brothers and sisters, for what reason did we choose this subject? Because I wish, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me and to help you improve your relationship with other Muslims. That's a change that we can make. Whether a Muslim is black or white or tall or short or male or female or whatever persuasion that they have or wherever they are from, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to improve our relationship with other Muslims. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to take a portion of our wealth. And Allah, He knows what you have. Allah, He knows what He has given to you. He know what your condition used to be. He know what you have promised. And so out of what He has given for you, there is a haq on you from the people who don't have what you have. The people who are Ibn al-Sabir. The people who are poor people. They have a haq on you and me. And one of the characteristics and one of the things that Muslims can do when they come to Jum'ah, they can bring with themselves a portion of their money. And they can deposit that money so that the people who have a haq upon you, they will have access to that money. But how many Muslims actually leave their house after taking a bath and putting on their clothes? How many Muslims reach down and think about, how much money did I make this week? How much money did I make this month? Oh, mashallah. So I made 500 KD this month. Oh, I should take 50 KD out of the money which I made. And I should give that, bring that to the mosque and deposit it so that the Ibn al-Sabir, the poor people and the travelers and others, they will have their haq. Because if you leave here on Jumu'ah and you did not deposit that haq, wallahi, the food that will go into your stomach in the next hour, it will turn rotten and you will become sick. Because out of your wealth, if you don't pay that part that belongs to others, Allah will cause your wealth and your food to make you sick. And Allah will create from your money, He will create from your wealth fitna. And even you will find that that fitna and that disease, it will reach your children. It will permeate your houses because Allah has made haq upon you and your wealth to make sure that others will get their portion. And don't say, oh, well, I'm paying zakat. No, no, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made zakat fard upon us. But sadaqah, there is more reward for sadaqah than there is for zakat. Because you have an option to do that, and you have chosen the option. Or Muslims, improve your relationship with your parents. Think about what your mother did for you. Think about what your father did for you. Whether you like them, you agree with them, or whether they treat you well or whatever, so what? If it's not for your mother and father, you would not be here. Think about what they suffered, what they gained, in order for you to have what you have. So you must respect them. You must make dua for them. You must reconcile your differences with them. This is a part of change. O Muslims, improve your knowledge of Quran and Sunnah. Did you learn any ayah this week? Did you open the Quran? I don't mean just read from the Quran, as Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Did you reflect on any ayah of Quran and you tried your best, memorize this ayah, and then after that, implement that ayah? Did you do that? Did you try to look at some hadith from the Prophet ﷺ and then take that hadith and memorize it, apply it to your life so you increase your knowledge in Quran and Sunnah? Did you do that? O Muslims, we must improve our social consciousness, our concern for others. The other day, a man, he pulled up on the sidewalk. I was standing there. He was talking to his friend. His friend, smoking the cigarette, he threw the cigarette out the window. And the guy, he finished drinking his soda, he threw the bottle out the window. I said, hey, Assalamu alaikum, akhi. What's wrong with you? This your street? This your country? You don't have no respect? You just throw the cigarette out the window like that? You just throw the can out the window like that? He told us to mind your business. I have to mind my business. It's not my country. But if it's my country, I will not mind my business. If I have the police, I will not mind my business. But somebody else will get him, because the malaika is cursing them. We have to have concern for the society. We want the society to be clean. You keep your society clean. You must respect your neighbors. You must walk in the streets and appreciate what you have been given. You must think about your government. You must think about your society and all the resources that the society and the government has provided for you. You must ask yourself, what can I give back? What can I contribute? This will be a part of change. O Muslims, we must evaluate ourselves. We must evaluate our society and find the time and a way to make a difference. O Muslims, look outside of yourself. Look outside of your society. Understand the world that we are living in. Understand the world and its people. Understand the people and their condition. And then you must have sensitivity towards people in the world and their conditions. O Muslims, you and I, we must desire to spread the Islamic message. This gift that Allah has given to us, this guidance that Allah has given to us, did you spread, did you invite, did you bring anybody to illustrate to them some non-Muslim that you see outside working? You say, oh, they just here in this country. You call them expatriates or whatever it is. Somebody working inside your house. Did you sit with them and just discuss Quran to them 5 minutes? Just give them a break. Give them a break. Don't be ordering them, telling them to fix the coffee, fix the tea, clean the house, do this, make your bed, clean the yard, clean the car, do this, do that. SubhanAllah, what kind of Muslims we are? Did you sit them down and give them 5 minutes and you serve them some tea? And give them something to read? Tell them, look, just chill out for a minute. Take 30 minutes and relax and read this over here. Or did you sit down and talk to them? Did you buy the housemaid some gift, like give her dress or some slippers? Did you give the man who's washing your car a new set of clothes for his family? Did you do something for his children? What you did? You just ordering them? Well, if you do something for them, you give them 30-minute break, and tell them, sit down and read this here, give them some nasiha, wallahi, you will find maybe that within the year, they will want to be Muslim. And some of us, we don't want our housemaids and the people working for us to be Muslim, because then we got to treat them like Muslims. Oh, Muslims, did you give any Islamic message to anybody? Did you send a text? Did you make a phone call? Did you contribute to the da'wah? Did you go to any institution and get some pamphlets and put it in your glove compartment or in your office so when you meet a non-Muslim, you can pass to them a cassette tape or a DVD or something? Did you do that? Did you spend even half a KD just to do that? Did you spend 10 minutes this week in da'wah or desiring to be in da'wah or to walk with the people of da'wah? Did you do that? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah, he told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he told us, Udu'u ila sabili rabbik. Call to the way of your Lord, bil hikmah. وَالْمَوْئِذَةٌ حَسَنًا وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنًا. This order was not just to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This was an order to you. This was an order to me. So what have you done this week? What have you done this month? Whose life have you influenced with da'wah this year? Wallahi, in 10 years, did you give any da'wah to anybody? No, you are selfish Muslim, arguing about Islam for yourself, but you don't want it for others. Oh, Muslims, you and I, we must believe that Islam will become uppermost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in the Quran, he says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينَ الْحَقَّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَلَوْ وَلَوْ وَلَوْ. So Allah, he promised that this Islam, it will become uppermost. قَدْ عَفْلَهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers, they will win through. Islam will come back. Islam will arrive. Islam will conquer. And Islam will become over every other kind of system. Wallah! That's what Allah, he said. But do you believe that? Or just some kind of words you just recited? Or Muslims? Finally, I want to remind each one of us living in this beautiful, resourceful country, let us be grateful for the many resources which this government has provided for us. Let us pray for the life, the long life, the health and the prosperity of Sheikh Sabah Al-Ahmed and his family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he bless them and provide them long life. Give them prosperity, increase them in guidance and knowledge. Why? Because whoever is not grateful for those who give us something, Allah will never be satisfied with you.